Peter 1, verse 6? Yeah? Okay, cool. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you, love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. That's really complicated. So let's pray before we dive into it. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive all that you have for us this evening, Lord. Help my words to be clear and explained in a very understandable way. And I pray that your words would come alive to us, Lord. Speak through me to your people. Fill us all with your Spirit to understand exactly what you have for us, Lord. And as we sing in worship, Lord, we are thankful that right now, in the good times and in the bad times, that you are on your throne, that you are reigning in our lives, and you are in control, and we can trust you and rest in you and put our faith in you. So speak to us this evening, we pray. All of this in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Amen. So the foundation has been laid. Sit upon it. You all already sat, so that's a bummer. But the foundation has been laid, and now we're getting down to the good stuff, the meat and the potatoes. We've set the place, Matt, and now you get the meat. Now you get the food. You get the goods. But today in our passage, it starts right off taking from where we left off. Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice. Rejoicing that you've been born again, like we looked at, that you have that living hope, the lasting inheritance, and the literal protection to that inheritance. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Pew! That's right, guys. Tonight we're talking about trials. And we've titled this teaching, Fuego, Foyo, Faith. And if you are not very cultured, fire for your faith. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and foyo means for your faith. So, yeah. foyo faith. Fuego, foyo faith. That's the title of this morning's teaching. It's so funny when you say it fast, right? Try to say it fast. Fuego, foyo faith.
You sound like Elvis.
I'm not a rapper. So if you're taking notes, that's the title of the teaching this evening. Fuego for your faith. And that's translated to fire for your faith. But before we get into the trials, before we dive straight into the trials, we have to talk about faith. Just because, like, a lot of people have different understandings of faith. It means different things to them. So we need to all take off at the same point of what we understand faith to be. Because some people hear faith, trust, and they're like, man, all I need is pixie dust. And then they'll be fine. Huh?
Faith, trust.
Faith, trust, and pixie dust, the ingredients of flight. But what we're going to do is really look at the simplified bullet point definition of faith, because Peter explains it a little later on, and we're going to look at that, and it is so beautiful. All of you are going to need tissues because you're going to be weeping at the beauty of his description. But first, I need to just give you a simple definition of faith, and you can throw up the slide. Faith is a belief so strong that it changes your actions. That is faith in its most simplest definition, a belief that is so strong that it changes what you do. So a really good example of this is found in my favorite movie, The Lego Movie. Do we all know The Lego Movie? Yes? I already have the Batman Lego Movie on Blu-ray DVD, and I've already watched it like 3 times. It's so good. Okay, but Lego Movie. So Emmett is just this normal dude. He's just a blank slate, just kind of, he's kind of there. And all of a sudden, he finds the piece of resistance. It's the cap to the Kraggle, the crazy glue. It's such a funny movie. It cracks me up. But he finds the piece of resistance. It gets stuck to his back. And that reveals that he is, what is it called?
The special.
The special. That's right. The special. And so it takes, like, pretty much the majority of the middle of the movie for him to go from, like, not thinking he's the special to thinking that he is the special to being, like, really special and then, like, taking over everything and going to the top of the tower and doing all that he needs to do. But at the end, man, what's that guy's name who dies? Vitruvius, like, the Vitruvius man. It's so witty! Oh, it kills me! Vitruvius dies, and then he comes back as a ghost, and he tells Emmett that the prophecy of being the special was all fake. But while he had the faith of what was proven, he was doing crazy things, and it changed, and then, you know, you fast forward, and you realize that it's not about, like, what people tell you you are, but it's about what you choose to be, and it's, like, this beautiful, like, heartwarming meaning, and the Father's relationship with the Son is restored, the gospel is there, but that is faith. He had faith that he was the special, and he, it changed what he did. It was something that he couldn't prove with science, but it changes the way he acted once he believed it. And then once he believed it truly in himself, it transformed him as a person. But here's how Peter explains faith. In verse 8, I'm going to read it in the NLT, but read it along with me up on the screen. It says, "You love him even though you have never seen him." How many of you love God? No pressure. We're just at church, so... If you don't raise your hand, you might be a little singled out. But how many of you have seen a God? I have not. Jared. And the Bible tells us a few reasons why. Sometimes the Bible tells us that it's so our faith is genuine faith. Other times it's if we saw God, we would die. Other times it's just that our hearts would never be prepared to see such holiness. But he says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him." And that is faith. "And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." Your actions are changed because of your belief. Because you believe that Jesus conquered death and went back to heaven and is preparing a place for you and, like, ushering communion between you and God, it changes. It brings this rejoicing, and it brings this inexpressible joy. And then verse 9 says, "The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." Isn't that so good? That is, like, if you could just take a picture of that, clink, you can, because, I mean, it's written. It's so, like, the perfect definition of faith. Having not seen him, but you love him. You trust him, and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. He goes on to say that this salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is something that the prophets were, like, dreaming of and, like, racking their minds about, trying to discover when and where and how it would all happen. But now we know the answers to their deep questions by those who preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says that it's so exciting that angels are eagerly watching all of this happen. So, like, we binge watch Netflix, angels are binge watching the spread of the gospel. They're just stoked about it. It's like blowing their minds. They're like, "Whoa, foreshadowing. Oh man, look at that twist. I did not see that coming." I really think they are, like, that excited about it. They're, like, using their free time, apparently angels have it, and they're watching the gospel be spread, and they are so excited about it. So that is faith. It's a belief so strong that it changes your actions. But Peter tells us that because of our faith, we go through fuego. We go through trials or fire. If you don't, did I explain that clearly? Fuego is Spanish for fire. Okay. Just, I mean, we should all know that, but if you don't, now you do. Now here's the definition of trials, and we'll have it up on the screen. Difficult situations that God allows Christians to go through in order to develop their faith. So a trial, it's a difficult situation that God allows us to go through in order to develop, to further develop our faith. So a trial can be a stressful year at school that you just dread and you just want it to be over. You just want to get through that year at school. It can be getting picked on or getting bullied. It can be financial troubles in your family and having to deal with that and all kind of the drama that comes along with that. It can be persecution. It can be division in your family, maybe between you and your siblings, between both of your parents, between maybe you and your parents, just unable to get along with them or unable to cope with whatever is going on at home. It can be depression and anxiety that is not caused by a situation on earth, but is just caused in your mind. That's a psychology major in me speaking, but it is real. It can be a natural disaster and suffering because of that. It can be the loss of a loved one. And it can even be more than that. Trials and tribulations can be so much. Now, at first, this sounds like a whole boatload of lame sauce. God allows us to go through trials. He allows us to get bullied. He allows us to sign up for a stressful year at school, even though you don't have the option, but to still be there, and to have to go through that whole year of school, God allows it? Why would God allow us to go through these difficult situations? And that is the question. And that's the question that we're going to wrestle with tonight, that we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at. In this passage, we're going to see three reasons why God allows us to face trials. And they're very important. And we'll have them up on the screen so you can take notes. The first is grief. The second is test. And the third is purify. These are the three reasons why God allows us to go through trials. Grief, test, and purify. So if you're taking notes, that'll help you keep track of how we're going through this.
Those don't all
I know, it's tough, right? I know. I wish I could have, but I couldn't. Bum deal. They're all like kind of short words, so.
Not sure if I.
Yeah, I know. Bummer. Sorry, guys. So the first reason that we go through trials is so we are grieved. This sounds really confusing, and you can go back to the main slide. It sounds shocking at first that we go through trials so we are grieved. And when I say grief, I don't mean like grieving the loss of a loved one. What I mean is grief in the definition of trouble or annoyance, like Charlie Brown style. Good grief, you know what I'm saying? Where he's like having a good day, then all of a sudden like his dog totally shows him off and he just goes, good grief, Charlie Brown. But that's what I mean, that type of good grief, trouble or annoyance. And this seems really obvious, but it's so important for us to realize. There's this belief that some Christians have that when trials come your way, that you need to show yourself like this impenetrable, completely emotionless force that can't be stopped and like, no matter what happens, like your dog gets ran over and it's a rainy day and it's hot and it's humid and you're late for class and like your car broke down, no matter what, you're like, yeah, da, 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 praise the Lord. No, that is this idea that some Christians have, but it's not true at all. We go through trials to bring us to a state of grief. It's very important that we understand this. Trials don't come our way to prove that you're impenetrable, that there's nothing that scares you, that there's no way you can ever be hurt, that there's nothing that's going to annoy you or make you mad. You don't go through trials to prove that God is bigger than these things and they don't affect you at all. That's all wrong. Rather, God allows us to go through these trials so these deeper emotions that we usually try to keep kind of tucked away and pretend like they're not there, so those deeper emotions can surface and we can see how we handle them and how our faith is reacting in spite of that. So that is the first thing that happens when you go through a trial. It produces grief in your life, and it's very important that it happens. When a trial comes your way, your goal is to not show that you're this mime who has no emotions and can't be affected. Your goal is to allow the pain or the fear or the hurt to do what it's doing in your lives and to produce the responses that are natural in that. That is what the first goal of a trial is, to bring grief into your life. Now, don't tune me out, because that sounds crazy. Why would God want to bring or allow grief in our lives? So don't tune me out there, because there's two more reasons that are so important for why he allows us to go through trials. The first, so that we experience grief. The second is to test our faith. The second point, to test. Verse 7 says, and you can throw it on the screen, these trials will show you, this is the NLT, that your faith is genuine or genuine, depending on where you're from. It is being tested just as fire tests gold. Did you guys know that you can test gold with fire? Like, you can go home and do it right now. Just ask for your parents' wedding band if it's gold and light it up. You really can. So all you need to do is take something gold. It can be anything, preferably like a ring, something weighty and heavy, and just put it over a flame. It doesn't need to be like smoking hot fire. No, it just needs to be like a torch. Not even a torch, like a lighter. Yeah, candle. Your stove would work as well. Yeah. Yep. Okay, well, this is how you're going to test if it's real or not. So you take your gold, you hold it over a fire, and if it's pretty much anything that is not gold, do you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to get, no. No, you're not going that hot with it, you guys. Come on. You're not burning the house down. No, it's going to get dark. And it'll probably even get black, and it'll get really dull. Like, have you guys seen that? If you burn, like, a iron rod, it gets that black, like, film, and, like, gets really dark and grody, kind of. Well, if you ever burn, like, most metals, that's what's going to happen. But here's what's interesting. If it's gold, that is not going to happen. All that's going to happen is as the gold goes through the fire, it's just going to get brighter. So it might get a little red or like an orange color, but it's just going to shine really bright. You guys can go home and test this right now, I promise. You might find out that your parents' wedding ring is not what they think it is. Just kidding. But maybe. You never know. Yeah. I know. It's for my faith, I promise. But here's what Peter's saying, that your faith is just like gold, even more precious than gold. And trials are like fire that is going to test your faith and tell you if it's real faith or if it's something that you just think. Like, maybe you think you have faith that Jesus rose from the dead, but then when you get in this situation where you're being persecuted or where you're really having to question that, you realize that it's just a thought. You just think Jesus rose from the dead. Or you just think, yeah, maybe the world was created in 7 days. Or think, yeah, maybe there is a God in control who loves me. This trial by fire is what allows us to determine that. When the fire comes upon us, when the grief of this world comes upon us, does our faith shine? Do we, in the midst of difficulty, do we turn and worship God more so than we did before? Do we pray to him more, knowing that we need him now more than ever? Do we trust him more, knowing that he is in control? Or does your faith darken? Does it become dim? Do you stop praying as much as you did because things are getting chaotic and you're really stressed out and things are out of control? Do Do you stop reading your Bible? You're not worshiping as much because there's other things going on. There's other things that are distracting you from that, that are more important, or that seem more important. Or do you just stop believing God altogether when you come into these difficulties? This is what trials test. They test if what you call faith in the easy times, if it is genuine faith, or if you just think that there is a God, or think that he rose from the dead, or think that he loves you and that he is making intercession for you each and every day. So that is the second reason why God allows us to go through trials. It's to bring grief into our life, and then it is to test if that faith is genuine, or if it's just something that we thought was gold, something that we thought was real. And then the third reason God allows us to go through trials is to purify us. And we also see this in verse 7. You can throw it on the screen. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire purifies gold. So, once they figure out that gold is real, this is something you can't do at home. What they do after that is they heat the gold up to about 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Melt your face off. That's crazy. Do you know how hot that is? It is 3,000 degrees. I think it's like 1,600 degrees Celsius. So it's 16 times boiling. Huh? No, I don't even know what that would be. I don't want to know what that would be. That's crazy. So they heat the gold up to about 3,000 degrees, and that's pretty hot. And what they do is they melt it down to a liquid. And now we got to get a little bit of scientific right now. So if you love science, raise your hand. If you hate science, sorry. Just bear with me for this little bit. But because there's things in the gold, because gold has a really high density. Do you guys know what that means?
Yes.
So because it's high in density, it like sinks to the bottom of everything. And then things that are less dense than it, they do what? No, they rise to the top. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. I don't know. I've never panned for gold, but I think that is correct. So they melt it down to a liquid. And the imperfections in the gold, the impurities, the things that are not gold, because they're less dense, they rise to the top of the liquid. And then they kind of cool it off, and then they whoosh, scrape it off. It's probably not of that sound. It's probably more like... They scrape it off. They scrape off that stuff, and then they do it again. So that the less dense stuff rises to the top, they let it cool off, and then they do it again. They scrape off that stuff. And then they let it do it again, and then they do it again and again and again until the gold gets to like 99.9% gold. That's our gold standard. Did you know that? Wow.
Oh, it's 24. Oh, it's a carat.
Yeah, I don't even know what a carat is. But, yeah. So, sometimes... what are you saying? Jared, what are you singing? So, just like how this gold is purified, how they heat it up to a boiling point and then scrape off the imperfections on top, that's exactly how it is when we go through trials. When we go through trials in areas of our life where our faith is lacking, what happens is those areas where our faith is lacking, they rise to the surface, and then we're able to address it. We're able to do whatever is necessary to strengthen that area of our faith, or to remove maybe something that we're struggling with. Maybe it's pride, selfishness, or just a full distrust in God. We're able to address it because it has risen to the surface through the trial. And we have to do whatever is necessary to remove it once it comes to the surface. Sometimes this will be as simple as identifying it. Oh, Lord, I didn't notice that I struggle with faith in this way. And then removing it, just praying through it, saying, Lord, you know, surrendering this to him. Would you give me the strength to trust you, to rely on you, and to believe you for this? Or It can be worshiping, even when we don't feel like it. Worshiping when it's hard and when, you know, like, it's hard to believe that God is there for you and that he's trusting, or that he's there for you to trust and you can rest on him. But choosing, even in the difficulty, even in the confusion, to worship him because he is worthy of it. But other times it will not be as easy. Other times you're going to need help from other Christians. And I believe this is part of the purification process, is we have to allow that imperfect stuff, that kind of messy stuff that isn't gold, we have to let it come to the surface. And we have to be real with our brothers and sisters who we trust, and we have to allow them to help us through it. They can encourage us. They can help us scrape whatever that thing is in our life out. And this is a very, very important aspect of going through trials. It's those imperfections that we wouldn't have known we have otherwise, rising to the top and then being able to work through it, being able to do what's necessary to continue the development of our faith. So as we come to a close, what I want to do is answer the overarching question that can really be troubling. Why does God allow us to go through trials? Why would he do that? Or why does he still do that? If he knows everything, which he does, why does he need to test our faith? Why does he need to put our faith on trial? Why does it need to go through these things? And what you need to know is that God does not allow trials. He does not allow you to be tested to show him. He doesn't do it to show him the truth, because he already knows, but he does it to show you. He does it to show you where your faith is. When life is crazy, when things that you never thought could happen are happening to you, and you're having to process through it, and you're stressed, and you're anxious, and you don't know what to do, God puts you through that. He allows you to go through it so you can see where your faith is in reality. Because without it, without these things to show us the truth of our faith, until our faith is shaken up, most of us just assume that we have really good faith. And that's easy to do. When life is good and it's like sunshine, lollipops, and whatever else. Yeah. It's easy to assume that you have the best faith in the world because your faith isn't shaken up. But then when God allows our faith to be shaken, then we see the truth. We see it. It's not so he can see it and go, oh, wow, okay, check. No, that's not at all what it is. God already knows, and God already has the place for you in heaven, and he's already literally protecting you for it. God is not doing it so he can see where you're at. He's doing it so you can see where you're at. And why is that important? Peter tells us in verse 7 at the end, and you can put it on the screen. I think it's the last verse, yes. So when your faith, when you've gone through these trials and you've seen your imperfections, you've seen your doubts, you've seen what you run to when trouble comes your way, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. On the day when either you die and go to heaven, it's going to bring you much praise and honor and glory. Or on the day when Jesus returns for us and calls us to him, it will be for you, your faith, how it has been purified into this gold, how it has been transformed from when you first put your faith in Jesus Christ to what it is on that day. You will be praised and glorified and honored for your faith. It will be an honor to you. And you're just going to lay it down at the feet of Jesus and humble before him and feel like worms no matter what. But it will be glory to you. And it's something that you will be thankful for, that your faith here on earth was further developed, that you will look back and say, wow, that was tough at first, but now I see God in all of his glory, and I am thankful. that I believe, thankful that my faith has grown deeper in him and in who he is. And that is so important. That is why God allows us to be tested, to show you where your faith is. Let's close in prayer, and then we're going to play a game, so don't go anywhere. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be part of your family. So thankful that when trials come our way, that you are there and that you are faithful. That you will not let us be tempted. You will not let us be troubled beyond what we can handle. But you allow this to test us, to bring us closer to you, to strengthen our faith in you. We pray when trials come our way that we would allow grief to do what it has to do, allow ourselves to be troubled and to be annoyed, to be scared and to be hurt by whatever has happened. But then we pray that right as the grief comes, that we would get to work, knowing that this is a test and that we can see where our faith is genuine and where it's not, and we can address that, and that it will purify our faith if we scrape out those imperfections from our life. So teach us how to do that. Teach us how to be active and aware of trials that come our way and how we can use those trials to grow deeper in our faith in you. We love you so much, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.